Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father, from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. What troubling words we hear from Jesus in the gospel lesson today. Do you suppose that I have come to bring peace to the earth? I did not come to bring peace, but a sword. I have come to turn a man against his father, a daughter against her mother, a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. A man's enemies will be the members of his own household. But doesn't the prophet Isaiah say, "Unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace"? Doesn't Jesus tell Peter to put away the sword on the night when he was betrayed in the garden? How can Jesus then say, "I have not come to bring peace, but a sword"? I have not come to bring peace, but division. We are presented with what seems like a contradiction that may cause us to question Jesus' mission. But the answer to this problem is found in the gospel message itself. Jesus did not come to bring peace on earth, but to make peace between God and man. The sword that Jesus carries with him, that he brings with him from heaven, is not of this world, and neither is his peace. Jesus clearly says many times, "My kingdom is not of this world. If it were, my disciples would fight so that you would not be able to take hold of me. But as it were, my kingdom is not of this world." His sword that divides truth from error is his word. It penetrates hearts, convicts of sin, and yes, it causes division. It is the truth. Nothing false can stand beside it. And so it will divide father from son, and daughter from mother, and mother-in-law from daughter-in-law. It will divide entire families and peoples and nations. His word does divide. And yet it's also true that he is the God of peace. His peace is not seen in ceasefires and trade agreements, though. It's actually hidden in the violent death of his son, in his innocent blood shed on the cross for the life of the world. His peace is cloaked in simple words, in the water of holy baptism and in the bread and wine of holy communion. But the world cannot understand these things, right? That's how every sermon ends. "The peace of God, which passes all understanding, guards and keeps your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus to life everlasting." His peace cannot be understood except by faith and trust in Jesus Christ. The world of our day is not so different than that world of Jesus' day. Everyone still wants a Jesus that creates peace between warring nations, that gives us the assurance of a quiet and safe life, who is supposed to unite Christians and Jews and Hindus and Muslims and every other religion under the sun. No one wants their Jesus to tell them that what they are doing or how they are living is wrong. But you know from the scriptures, that is not the Jesus that we know. That is not what he has come to do. There is only one way of truth, only one way of salvation, only one path of righteousness. Not all religions are compatible with each other. There is only one truth. And he has sent his Holy Spirit to bring us to a knowledge of our sin, to crush us, to condemn us, so that he might make us alive. There is only one Savior, Jesus Christ. Of course, you know all too well that this is very unpopular. It's an intolerant teaching that does not bring about any kind of earthly peace, but rather creates great division and strife. That doesn't change, though, that it is God's word, that it is the truth. The world does not like us or what we believe and confess to be true. That's a simple fact. We may get along with them in external things, but when it comes right down to it, they are not going to like the message that you believe in. They will call you intolerant and closed-minded and unloving. But it's in these very things that you see exactly how God's word is His sword that divides. That He did not come to bring peace on earth, but to create peace between God and man. It isn't really you that the world has a problem with. It's God and His word that they have a problem with. You're just the ones that it will be taken out on. They called Jesus the same names as they call us. They hated Him even more than they hate you and me. But still, He loved them enough to give up His life and die for them. He loves you enough to have given up His life and to have died for you. No one is exempt from His mercy. He died for all. In the Old Testament lesson today, you heard about the prophet Hananiah. Very tempting to preach only on that text, but the two fit very nicely together. The prophet Hananiah prophesied about the Israelites' return from exile and how there would be peace in the land. Jeremiah stands up in front of him and all the people and says, "Wonderful, I pray that what you have prophesied will come true, that there will be peace. But you better listen. The prophets before you and me, they spoke of war and division, not of peace. When the prophet's word comes true, then you will know that the man of peace himself has finally come." What Hananiah spoke was a false hope. The Lord had not given him those words to speak. He was supposed to preach wrath and to watch what was coming in this division because Israel had separated themselves from the living God. They had abandoned God. They had broken His commandments. The prophet was supposed to preach repentance and to call them to faith, not tell them that peace would one day come because of their actions. His prophecy was false. Later in that same book, we learn that there can be no peace between God and Baal. There cannot be peace between a false god and the true God. And Hananiah's life was actually taken from him because he was a false prophet. He didn't speak the word of the Lord. He spoke his own word, and it cost him his life. We sin when we look for earthly peace among the nations and between different religions, and then blame God when we do not find it, as if it's His fault that there is division and not peace. We sin when we think that an outward appearance of peace can actually be God-pleasing when there is really no agreement in Jesus Christ and in His sacraments. Jesus has told us clearly that He did not come to bring peace on earth. If we speak any different, then we are speaking as Hananiah, as a false prophet, ignoring the reality of sin, ignoring what His word will do to people. When God's word is preached and taught in its truth and purity, there will be division and strife. Was it any different in Jesus' lifetime? He spoke the truth, and they crucified Him. But God used that which was meant for evil to bring about your salvation. When you hear Jesus' words, "I have come to turn a man against his father," it's hard not to think about how, because of our sins, Jesus became an enemy to His Father. The Father literally poured out His entire cup of wrath upon His only begotten Son because His only begotten Son had taken on the sins of the whole world. God the Father was separated from His Son because His Son became the sinner that you and I are. Our sins caused a division between God the Father and God the Son. Our sins caused the perfect Son of God to die a sinner's death, a cursed death upon a tree. that message is foolishness to the Gentiles. But to those who are in Christ, it is a message of life and salvation. It is a stumbling block to the Jews, one that they cannot get past to this day, that God would actually come and give His life for His people. Remember, though, He said, "My kingdom is not of this world." His kingdom is ushered in grace and mercy through His blood shed on Calvary. Because Jesus went to the cross with your sins, all of your questioning of God's word, your wondering if maybe this world is right in its judgment, your fear of offending others by speaking the truth, your desire to be liked by everyone, all of your sins are forgiven. All of your sins and my sins are forgiven in Jesus Christ. Because of Jesus Christ, that sin can no longer separate you from your Heavenly Father. For Jesus has made peace between God and man with His own precious life. There's no reason to fear those in this world who can kill the body, because you already have died with your Savior. You have been raised to new life in holy baptism. The second death, no matter how painful, can never harm you. The devil will continue to parade your sins around before you. The world will continue to persecute you, and your sinful flesh will always be ready to go to sin. But peace with God has been made, and your salvation is sure and certain. God's word brings division in our world, but Jesus brings an otherworldly peace, a peace that passes all human understanding. A peace that the people of this world cannot know and that they cannot give. A peace which you can only receive from Him in His good gifts. When the Father looks down from heaven at you, He doesn't see your sin. He only sees the precious blood of His Son that has cleansed you and has made you as white as snow. He sees the sign of the Holy Cross written upon your forehead and upon your heart as one who is redeemed by Christ the crucified. He watches joyfully as you eat and drink His Son's body and blood for the forgiveness of your sins. Jesus didn't come to earth to bring peace on earth, but He did come to earth, and He did create peace between God and man. This is the precious gospel. Your sins are forgiven. Heaven is open to you. Jesus is your salvation. Amen. The peace of God which passes all understanding guards and keeps your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus to life everlasting. Amen.